Now the book of Ruth records some historical events in the lives of a few individuals who lived during the time of the judges. The events in the book occurred about 1100 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. There are only four chapters in this short book. We may subtitle the first chapter, The Hand of God. Here we see how a Jewish family migrated into Moab because of a famine. But the man of the house, the husband, soon died. And not long after that, his two sons also died. And they left behind two daughter-in-laws to take care of their mother. Their mother, Naomi, subsequently decided to return to Bethlehem. She was bitter that the hand of the Lord had been heavy upon her and her family. One of the two daughter-in-laws decided to return back to her parents, but another one, by the name of Ruth, decided to stay with Naomi. She said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Beautiful words. But now we may subtitle the second chapter, The Goodness of God. Here we see Naomi and Ruth settling in Bethlehem. They had no food. So Ruth decided to do her duty as a good daughter-in-law. She planned to go glean in a field. And that practice of gleaning was provided by the word of God, in that those who own fields must not reap it completely, but leave the corners and the stalks that have not been originally cut standing where they are for the poor. And in fact, if they are binding up the sheaves and there happen to be some stalks that drop on the ground, they are not to pick them up. These are for the poor. So Ruth decided to go to glean in a field, and by the providence of God, Ruth was brought to a field of a relative by the name of Boaz, and there she experienced God's goodness through him. The third chapter of this book may be entitled The Redemption of God. And there we see Ruth very subtly proposing to Boaz at the threshing floor, and how he responded by taking steps to redeem her and eventually to marry her, which provides us a very beautiful picture of our redemption in Christ. And the final chapter may be entitled The Grace of God, because it reflects the grace of God which we experience in our redemption. For here we see Boaz marrying the Moabitish stranger of the covenant, and how she then became the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this short book, as such, reveals to us both the graciousness of God in keeping his promise to be a God unto them and to bless them, and how the promised Messiah would descend from a Gentile convert, which also is part of the promise of God. But it's hard to find a specific verse of promise that will adequately represent this book. But I believe the words of Boaz to Ruth in chapter 2 and verse 12 will come quite close. Here we read, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Now these words were spoken by Boaz to Ruth because he was quite impressed with her for what he had heard concerning her, how she had left her parents to follow her mother-in-law into a strange country to look after her, and how she had worked so diligently to provide for for the family, for herself and for her mother-in-law, to make sure that she had sufficient to survive. But what kind of statement is this that Boaz made? The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord. Notice that it's not exactly prophetic. Or it should be translated, the Lord shall recompense thy work. Neither is it actually a prayer. Or it should be translated, may the Lord recompense thy work. But it may be so translated, but I believe our translators noticed that there is something different about the way it is said, and so they translated it in a different way. How did they translate it? Well, they translated it essentially as a promissory benediction. Boaz is essentially pronouncing a benediction based on the character and promise of the Lord. But these words may no doubt apply to every child of God that has come under the wings of Jehovah, who would faithfully serve him like Ruth. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. But this evening we want to consider just two simple thoughts from this promise. First, we want to consider the fact that God owes us nothing. Secondly, we want to consider how the Lord rewards us nevertheless. First then, the Lord owes us nothing. But our text does not say anything about the Lord owing us nothing. But every time the subject of reward comes up, it is essential for us to remind ourselves that the Lord indeed owes us nothing. In the first place, he is our creator. The creator owes nothing to the creature or to the created being. In the second place, all our righteousness, all our righteous deeds are tainted with sin and are filthy rags in the sight of God. They count nothing to deserve a credit or praise or reward from him. In the third place, God's benevolence towards us for our day-to-day life in terms of life, food and water, and relationship, sunshine, etc., more than compensate for what we may do for him. What more if, like Ruth, we come under his wings to find protection, grace and life everlasting? With this in mind, our attitude towards the Christian life should be like that of Ruth. It is clear that Ruth was not looking forward to a reward when she accompanied Naomi back to Bethlehem. In fact, if she had thought about temporal benefits, she should have gone with Orpah to look for another husband, because Naomi indeed tried to dissuade her. I'm not going to have another husband for you. Even if I get another husband and I have a son, will you wait for him to marry you, and so on? But Ruth went nevertheless. And not only so, but because she realized that she did not deserve the kindness of Boaz, she responded to his kindness with gratitude, asking, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me? Now let us, beloved brethren and children, imitate Ruth. Let us understand that all the blessings that we receive from the Lord are graciously extended by the Lord. When we say it's graciously extended, what we mean is simply that we do not deserve it at all. It is out of God's grace, God's bountiful grace, that he extends any blessing toward us who are sinners. Let us therefore respond to the Lord in the way that Ruth responded to Boaz. Why have I found grace in thy sight that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, a sinner? who deserve nothing but thy wrath and thy curse. And let us serve the Lord out of gratitude and love rather than out of a desire for reward. This was how Ruth was serving the Lord as she served her mother-in-law. Nevertheless, secondly, let us consider how the Lord rewards us nevertheless. This is what Boaz was promising Ruth. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And as I mentioned, this is a benediction based on God's promise. And God's promise to reward those who serve Him faithfully is taught throughout the scriptures. Proverbs 13:13, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Isaiah 40:10, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Matthew 10:42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Luke 6:35, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Colossians 3:23-24, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 2 John 8, look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And the case is clear, isn't it? God does reward his children, even though they fall short of his glory. God will begin to dispense reward even in this life. Many of the Psalms, such as Psalm 37, Psalm 112, reflect this truth. But there will also be an eternal, everlasting reward, even an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It is this everlasting reward of grace that will apparently make a difference between believers in heaven. Do every cup of blessing will be full in heaven? Some cups will be bigger, some will be smaller. Though every star will be shining brightly, some will be brighter, some will be not so bright. Beloved brethren and children, man may not see or appreciate your good work. You may do a lot for the Lord and not hear a single word of thanks from man, because man does not see, or man failed to show appreciation. But God is just. God takes notice. And God will not be unjust and unrighteous to forget your work. Writer of Hebrews says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Essentially he's saying, it will be injustice and unrighteousness if God looks at your work and he does not reward you because he has promised to do so. Though those who understand the doctrine of grace and justification by grace through faith will serve the Lord out of gratitude and love, God has given us an extra incentive to labor on. Give us this incentive of reward to encourage us not to become weary in well-doing. Blessed be the Lord. Now tonight our message is short and simple. God does not owe us anything. Nevertheless, he rewards his children as he serves them, as they serve him. Our beloved brethren and children, this is the God we serve. Some of you have been much discouraged in your service of the Lord. Some of you are apprehensive about laying down your life to serve the Lord. Another couple of years or more. Well, I trust that the words of our text will give you a measure of encouragement. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. The Lord will not deal with us after our sin, nor reward us according to our iniquities, because he has dealt with his Son for them already. But he will reward us for our labors of love. Though our labor and love for him is so cold and frigid, if it can be called love at all compared to his great love for us. Or may we be stirred to continue to serve him gratefully and cheerfully, constrained by his love for us in Christ, despite all the difficulties that we may face. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. Shall we sing a psalm before we go to the season of prayer?